My name is Ray Lytle, and this is the Morning Disaster. I am solo once again. Nikki is so exhausted from her one day of work that she is unable to make it today. She's hit a level of exhaustion from working yesterday. We'll take it. Now, Nikki's, you know, it's obvious she's still recovering yesterday, and since she woke up today, she can't talk, which I can understand. If you go a while without talking and all of a sudden, you know. All of a sudden you talk for over 2 hours like we did yesterday. It was supposed to be a short show. But I was so excited to actually, you know, be able to do a full show, you know, with Nikki and I. That probably went too long and she was coughing and, you know. I can't talk, blah, 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 you know. Usual stuff that happens when you have the problems Nikki has, and so she's out today. Anyway, the number is 814-0332 if you would like to be part of the program today. You can call in. I hope you will at least attempt to call in. So, and I promise, just like we did last time when. When there's no Nikki, I do try to play some best of bits that you guys request, or at least I try, all right? I try. And you guys know, if you listen to the show regular, you do know that sometimes I get off talking about something. Or I go off and on some tangent and we hardly have time. So what I'm going to do is just instead of making 100% promises I'm going to do something, I'm just going to say, hey, my goal today starting today is to attempt to play a bunch of best of material for you. But these promises can only last so long. Can only last long. Well, I guess, you know, I guess everyone, watched the debate last night. Maybe you didn't. But from what I'm seeing, the overnights, which is, you know, the first set of ratings that come in, are gigantic for this debate. And as I said last night, I repeat today. Now, the ability to be able to win a debate, I don't know how much it has to do with governing the country. I don't know where debate skills come in, but last night was a pretty good night for one person and pretty ugly for another person. And I'm not the only one that says that. I mean, pretty much everyone is saying that unless you're so, blinded by loyalty to one candidate over the other. You saw what it is, what it is I'm saying. Now, that, like I said, I don't think it has a lot to do with, I think it has a lot to do with who the better debater is. I don't know. Because definitely there have been people who have won debates that, would have been a horrible president. And vice versa, the people who were great presidents who were horrible at the debates. But I could tell you that last night was, in my opinion, I thought it was pretty clear. One person, came across as standout with their answers and their the way they responded, the way they held themselves, and the other person sniffled a lot. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but one of the people was sniffling excessively. which I don't know what was going on with. I mean, good Lord, take a Sudafed. I mean, take a Sudafed. I do have some highlights, so I figure we should get all these out of the way. I'm not, and by the way, I'm not going to go into reasons why you should vote for one over the other. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over parts of the debate. All right? We're just going to go after parts of the debate. They started out, by the way, I thought it started out pretty evenly. And then things just got out of hand, you know, for one of the candidates. So let's get to, let's just go to some highlights. All right, first thing we have is, let's see, I've got some of the more well-known moments. And then I've got some of Trump attacking Hillary, Hillary attacking Trump. So we'll get into all of it because I'm looking at all the different clips I have and I'm like, oh, I don't even know which one to, I don't even know which one to pick. We have so many. Let's go with one of the biggest things that happened. One of the biggest things that happened last night, which was talk of Donald Trump's emails. All right. And people actually applauding was another big issue. So let's listen to this clip to start everything off. This is Donald Trump discussing when he will release his tax returns. All right.
I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns. And that's against my lawyers. They say don't do it.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, I think you've just seen another example of bait and switch here. We know the IRS has made clear there is no prohibition on releasing it when you're under audit. So you've got to ask yourself, why won't he release his tax returns? And I think there may be a couple of reasons. First, maybe he's not as rich as he says he is. Second, maybe he's not as charitable as he claims to be. Third, we don't know all of his business dealings, but we have been told through investigative reporting that he owes about $650 million to Wall Street and foreign banks. Or maybe he doesn't want the American people, all of you watching tonight, to know that he's paid nothing in federal taxes, because the only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license, and they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero, that means zero for troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health. I have no reason to believe that he's ever going to release his tax returns because there's something he's hiding.
So, yeah, you know, I don't want to make this a big debate, a discussion on how to debate, but I one of the things that I like about Donald Trump, but also I think a lot of the people that work for him probably hate, is that he's got his ability to go for the cheap laugh. You know what I mean? He's got his ability to immediately attack upon things that he doesn't like. And when she said he didn't pay any taxes, she says, I believe that he there's a chance he didn't pay any taxes. And blah, blah, blah. And he immediately says, that's because I'm smart. Which, on the surface, is funny. But then, when you get deeper than the surface, you go, oh, my God, you did not just admit, you know. I thought that was an interesting moment. It's hard to do this without, you know, judging one over the other. But that's what I'm trying to do here really quick. Let's see. Trump was blaming, of course, Hillary for things, as he does, but at least he was admitting it, all right?
It's probably $5 trillion that we can't bring into our country, Lester, and with a little leadership, you'd get it in here very quickly, and it could be put to use on the inner cities and lots of other things, and it would be beautiful. But we have no leadership. And honestly, that starts with Secretary Clinton.
All right, you have 2 minutes on the same question to defend tax increases on the wealthiest Americans, Secretary Clinton.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? You know, join the debate by saying more crazy things.
Why not? And then she's saying that he said crazy things. Trump, he did start asking direct questions to Hillary Clinton.
And Hillary, I just ask you this. You've been doing this for 30 years. Why are you just thinking about these solutions right now? For 30 years you've been doing it, and now you're just starting to think of solutions.
Well, actually,
I will bring back jobs. You can't bring back jobs.
Well, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30
and
years.
I have, not quite that long. I think my husband did a pretty good job in the 1990s. I think a lot about what worked and how we can make it work again.
Well, he approved
NAFTA.
Balanced budget. Which is the single worst trade deal ever approved in this country.
Incomes went up for everybody. Manufacturing jobs went up also in the 1990s, if we're actually going to look at the facts.
Well, there's a lot of missed opportunities in that part right there. I mean, she's talking about success of what her husband did. And there's opportunity. You know, he could have Trump missed opportunity. He could have said, well, he signed legislation that allowed for the housing crisis. There's a lot of things he could have said. He went after NAFTA. And there's a problem with him going after NAFTA. And like I said, this is not a news talk show. By any stretch of the imagination, this is not a news talk show, all right? That's not what this show is. But you got to remember, NAFTA as an idea was created by Ronald Reagan. And then the 4 years of George Herbert Walker Bush, that's who negotiated it and brought it right to the point of signing. And by the way, before people start bashing Ronald Reagan about it, you know, let's look at the original reason why it got started and the original trade deal itself and why they did what they did, which was, if you remember, people were coming over to this country illegally, and Ronald Reagan basically said, hey, these people are here. We don't have the money to hire the people to just throw them out. Because the amount of people that would have to be hired and receive public jobs in order to fix the infrastructure of immigration, this still exists, by the way, in order to hire the people to look for all of these illegals, make sure they're out of the country, make sure that our bureaucracy or our infrastructure is set to be able to do that. Because there were millions of people. I mean, millions of people. Ronald Reagan said rather than hiring all these public workers, of which, you know, some people can argue that he probably would have been better off hiring the public workers. At least everybody he hired would have gotten a job, a salary, pension, and that in itself would have fixed the economy. Hell, maybe even now, if they hired that many people, it would. But there's no way in hell Congress is going to. There's no way Congress is going to give the money to hire that many public workers. It's not going to happen. They forced Obama to shrink the public workforce by a million people. They're not going to let him go in and hire, you know, dozens of thousands of people to work in immigration. Anyway, the reason that he started that whole trade agreement was that Reagan concluded that rather than throw everybody out, he just gave them amnesty. He gave the Mexicans and the illegal immigrant from Mexico. He basically gave them amnesty if they'd been living here and blah, blah, blah. And rather than pay to throw them all out, he said, all right, you guys can just stay here. And then he decided we need to stop the flow of people from Mexico. Now, you could easily argue this didn't work, but his idea was that a trade agreement like what he originally started debating would elevate Mexico to a level that it would start to even the playing field, and that Mexican companies or from Mexico, you could sell goods to the United States without them paying gigantic taxes. Therefore, it would grow Mexican companies and jobs in Mexico. And even here in the United States, we could open up a couple of things in Mexico to give the people living there a better living. Rather than lowering our standard of living to handle all the illegal immigrants, the plan was getting an agreement between, you know, Canada, the United States, and Mexico and Central America. So the agreement was, if we bring up the poor countries closer to our levels, that it would keep those people in their own country and give their own company, their own country wealth and blah, blah, blah. Now, we can argue it didn't work. It obviously didn't work because part of the naivete of putting this plan together involved, well, American companies, no, American companies are good people at heart, and their money's going to trickle down into the hands of Americans. Well, they should have realized that these trickle-downers, that they're greedy, and that they wanted to keep as much of their own money as they could, and they wanted to pay their workers as little as possible. So American companies started moving all those jobs over there over the last, 30 years. But anyway, so it was actually President Reagan's idea. And then George Herbert Walker Bush spent 4 years negotiating this. And finally, he was the one who got the agreement. When Clinton came into office, he basically signed it. But it was not, it wasn't Clinton's idea. In fact, if you look at the history of this trade agreement, you will find that President George Herbert Walker Bush was there to sign it because it was his baby. I mean, he fought for this from the beginning. So, anyway, that's a little bit of the background with that. All right, I don't want to get into a big history class on how that all came to be, but I just thought for Trump to use that as his battle when, by the way, it was a missed opportunity because so much stuff he could have blamed Bill Clinton for. Instead, he blames him for something which was supported 100% by the Republican Party you can definitely argue he is right with this. I mean, NAFTA, it has taken American jobs. It really has. And it didn't stop the immigration problem at all. Because American companies immediately started moving factories there to pay less money, where the goal was that all these jobs in Mexico would bring up the amount of wages that they pay. The plan was to get Mexican companies to start making so much money that they started paying their workers more and blah, blah, blah. It didn't happen. American companies went over there and put up the factories themselves, screwing over a lot of the Mexican businesses that were trying to grow. But Americans now had the ability to go save money themselves. Of course they're going to do it. And I think a lot of people would argue that was their intention all along. So anyway, I think that just could have been huge for Trump. And instead he went with other things, all right? My favorite part, I think this might have been my favorite part of the debate, was Donald Trump talking about his temperament. And Hillary Clinton, I mean, she does everything to keep from laughing, but I think even people in the crowd are laughing. Even Donald Trump supporters were laughing at this section.
Why is your judgment any different than Mrs. Clinton?
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know, I have a much better. She spent, let me tell you, she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on an advertising. You know, they get Madison Avenue into a room. They put names. Oh, temperament. Let's go after. I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament. I have a winning temperament. I know how to win. She does not have
Secretary
how to win.
Clinton.
Wait.
Woo. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was that really landed. Because there's no one, I mean, even his most ardent supporter will say that, no, when it comes to the temperament game, there's no way. There's no way that that isn't an issue with him. Let's see, another highlight was he took her stamina, you know, from her having pneumonia and things like that. And he discussed her stamina, which was a pretty good moment, I think, from the debate.
Earlier this month, you said she doesn't have, quote, a presidential look. She's standing here right now. What did you mean by that?
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
The quote was,
you
I
have,
just don't think
wait,
she has
wait
a presidential
minute,
look.
She asked me a question. Did you ask me a question? You have to be able to negotiate our trade deals. You have to be able to negotiate, that's right, with Japan, with Saudi Arabia. I mean, can you imagine we're defending Saudi Arabia and with all of the money they have, we're defending them and they're not paying? All you have to do is speak to them. Wait, you have so many different things you have to be able to do, and I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
Let's let her respond.
Well, as soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
Yeah, the world.
That was not a good line of questioning from Donald Trump. More on stamina. If it starts playing.
You look at the inner cities, and I just left Detroit, and I just left Philadelphia, and I just, you know, you've seen me. I've been all over the place. You decided to stay home, and that's okay. But I will tell you, I've been all over, and I've met some of the greatest people I'll ever meet within these communities, and they are very, very upset with what their politicians have told them and what their politicians have done.
Mr. Trump,
I think Donald just criticized me for preparing for this debate. And yes, I did. And you know what else I prepared for? I prepared to be president. And I think that's a good thing.
Let's see. What else? Well, there's so many clips. I don't know if I'll be able to play them all. But here's some of Hillary Clinton attacking Donald Trump. So don't, no matter how anybody spins it, don't let them tell you that Donald Trump was the only one trying to attack. Hillary Clinton did also go after Trump about many different things, including him being her implying that he was racist. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Donald started his career back in 1973 being sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination because he would not rent apartments in one of his developments to African Americans, and he made sure that the people who worked for him understood that was the policy. He actually was sued twice by the Justice Department. So he has a long record of engaging in racist behavior. And the birther lie was a very hurtful one. But I like to remember what Michelle Obama said in her amazing speech at our Democratic National Convention. When they go low, we go high. And Barack Obama went high, despite Donald Trump's best efforts to bring him down.
First of all, I got to watch in preparing for this some of your debates against Barack Obama. You treated him with terrible disrespect. And I watched the way you talk now about how lovely everything is and how wonderful you are. It doesn't work that way. So when you try to act holier than thou, it really doesn't work. It really doesn't. Now, as far as the lawsuit, yes, when I was very young, I went into my father's company, had a real estate company in Brooklyn and Queens, and we, along with many, many other companies throughout the country, it was a federal lawsuit, were sued. We settled the suit with zero, with no admission of guilt.
So I'm not sure if he's bragging that they got away with it or what. I'm not... We said we didn't have to admit we were guilty. We just paid the government millions of dollars. But we were guilty. Spanky's on the phone. Hello, Spank.
Good morning. What's up, man?
Did you watch the debate last night?
I watched it for about an hour or so, and it wore me out.
So you watched it from the beginning, or did you catch it in the middle and then watch the rest of it?
I caught it in about the middle. And then I think maybe a little bit towards the end, I might have flipped back on when he was telling her that if she come up with her emails, he would show his tax brackets, you know.
Right.
And all that. But I only have one thing. I'm a Trump supporter.
Right.
Is he on cocaine? Every so often did you hear him.
Dude, there was a lot of, I noticed that too. There was a lot of sniffing.
And I'm like, is the dude like missing him a bump of cocaine or what?
Yeah, there's a, you know, that's the that's what the Daily Show on Comedy Central. That's what the Daily Show talked about. Is good Lord, you know, what is the? I mean, what's with the man sniffling all the time? There was, you're right. There was a lot of. I mean, yeah. It was excessive. Let me see. I got that. Where is that? I've got that. I've got the sniffling stuff. Let's see. Here's all the different sniffles put together, which is interesting. These are just all the, you know. I mean, look at that. There's 30 seconds of sniffle. I don't know who took time to put this all together. That's something that all the shows that were live last night talked about. A Daily Show, Trevor Noah, he talked about sniffling.
There's
Trump.
A reason I think Trump didn't do well. I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to start rumors, but Trump was sniffing a lot in this debate, and someone needs to look into that.
Perhaps we'll be talking about that later. Hundreds of companies are doing this. Our country's in deep trouble. I want you to be very happy.
What was that about, Trump?
And then here's Stephen Colbert and his comments about the sniffling. We know even Spanky
Trump sounded like
that.
He was fighting off a cold with cocaine.
We have to renegotiate our trade deals, unless you're Mexico.
He sounded like the coked up best man in the bathroom at a wedding. No. You guys, I got it. I know it can fix the entire economy. Let's all go in together. Let's buy a boat. Yeah.
Yes, Banky, it is. It's amazing that that's what you got from it. Is that he was,
that's what I mean, because I sit there and I kept rewinding it.
Yeah.
And I thought, this dude's got a problem.
He was, maybe he's just a little bit, you know, maybe he needed some Sudafed or something.
Yeah. And he just kept drinking the water. I don't think I ever seen Hillary take a drink.
Yeah, boy, he drank a lot of water. That was true, yeah. I mean, what the hell was going on with that?
I think maybe he took a little bump and then rubbed some on his gums, and he was trying to get her washed down.
Now, does that impress you, or does that scare you?
Oh, I still think he's great.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so you're saying you actually like him more. Well, you know, he's doing some coke. I mean, at least he's found a way to keep himself awake.
He's somewhat calm last night. I just don't get the 30. If she's been in office and doing this stuff for 30 years, why?
But she hasn't.
Deserve...
You know what? But let's listen. Let's talk about that. Her being in office. She wasn't in office for 30 years. She served as the Democratic senator from the state of New York.
And, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and she didn't, you know what, and she really, that was like 10 years, all right?
Okay.
That's it. When she was, do you feel the first lady, has policy say? She was the first lady of the United States. She was married to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that Michelle Obama is now in politics? Do you think that she's making decisions for the White House?
No.
Okay. So do you think that Hillary Clinton was making decisions for the White House when she was first?
Oh, no.
Well, that's what you
mean. That's what I was just trying to figure out.
Yeah, it wasn't
30 years.
It's not 30 years.
Where in the hell?
It's been like a dozen because, you know, she was she was the Secretary of State, but she was the sitting New York senator when Obama asked her to serve as his secretary. And while she was senator, she also ran for president and lost to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then before Bill Clinton was president, he was out of work for a while, but he also served as governor of the state of Arkansas. So she was just the first lady of Arkansas. So when he says, I mean, I think it's a mistake for Trump to say that she's been in public or in politics and public office for 30 years because she hasn't.
That's what we were trying to figure out.
It makes her seem more. I don't know. This is just my opinion, but I think it makes her seem more qualified than she is. And by the way, she's highly qualified. You can disagree with her. You could be these people that say, she's a murderer.
No, I won't pick that. She is very intelligent.
Yeah, and she is experienced. However, she's not 30 years experienced. And I just think there's old people out there that says, oh, she's been doing it 30 years. She knows what she's doing, which is not the case. She hasn't been there. She hasn't done 30 years worth of stuff. You know, a lot of those years were spent being the first lady of Arkansas and the first lady of the United States. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. She does have a lot of experience and experience at the national level, which a lot of people don't have. Other than George Herbert Walker Bush, I think, is the last one who had major experience at the federal level. Because he was a sitting vice. He was vice president for 8 years under a successful president. And then he ran and won. But since him, we haven't had anybody. I mean, Bill Clinton had no federal experience. George W. Mm-hmm. Bush had no federal experience. Barack Obama was a senator, a United States senator for, 4 years. That's it. That's his experience. So I'm just saying that she does have more experience than them, but hasn't been doing it for 30 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so I just kept, thinking back, where's she been for 30 years?
Well, yeah, just, I mean, she's married, I mean, you go back 30 years, she just hasn't been in public office for 30 years, which is why I think it was a mistake for, I don't know, Trump's, maybe their thing is, let's say she hasn't done anything for 30 years, and see, but I think it fails because people start going, oh, she's got 30 years of experience, blah, 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 even though he's right to say, well, she's been in politics and she hasn't done anything. But you didn't have to say 30 years. I think that actually works against. So what do I know? I'll play some more of these clips. And we'll get Spanky's thoughts as well. All right. Here's more about the birther issue that was interesting with Trump.
I think that I've developed very, very good relationships over the last little while with the African-American community. I think you can see that. And I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion, and I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, just listen to what you heard. And clearly, as Donald just admitted, he knew he was going to stand on this debate stage, and Lester Holt was going to be asking us questions, so he tried to put the whole racist birther lie to bed. But it can't be dismissed that easily. He has really started his political activity based on this racist lie that our first black president was not an American citizen. There was absolutely no evidence for it, but he persisted. He persisted year after year because some of his supporters, people that he was trying to bring into his fold, apparently believed it or wanted to believe it.
Yeah, so the birther thing. And, well, I thought Trump handled the birther thing really bad last night.
Yeah.
Because rather than just saying, yeah, you know what, it was brought up, It was brought up by several people. I questioned it. And when the president seemed kind of coy about it, it made me question it more. So I continued to question it. Then when he produced his birth certificate, I was like, all right, it's over. And now that doesn't explain why it took him till like 2 weeks ago to finally admit that the president was a citizen. There's really
because he was talking about that back in 12, 13, and 14.
Yeah, and he started, they actually, you know, he started in 2011. And by the way, the whole thing was started in 2000. Let's talk about this the other day. Whole thing was started in 2004. Andy Martin, the crazy candidate for Senate in Illinois in 2004, is the one who started it. And that's who started the whole birther movement. And that lunatic, what is her name? I cannot remember her name. That crazy lawyer from out west. I can't remember her name. There was a woman who I think she was originally Israeli, and she was convinced that Obama was a Muslim and a sleeper agent, and she got involved. And there was actually a lawsuit filed. And then that was picked up by the Clinton for President campaign in 2008, which, by the way, Trump did bring up. He's like, hey, your people are the ones who started that. But that was in 2008. He picks up on it in 2010, 2011, and just won't stop. And then rather than get off it, he should have just gotten off the subject as soon as possible. Instead, he starts patting himself on the back saying, I'm the one that proved the man that's president of the United States was actually born in the United States. Which, to take credit for that is ridiculous. But that's, you know, you might disagree with me, but.
Yeah, no, I don't, because he just kept on doing it, and I thought,
it was a losing issue.
Why bring that up?
It was a losing issue. Other than he really wanted to get close to the people who believe that somehow he's some type of sleeper agent or something. And what Hillary Clinton is saying, it was racist. And Trump never said it had nothing to do with race, which, you know.
I don't know. There was a few times I've seen it, I thought he put his foot right in his mouth.
Here's Hillary attacking Trump last night.
Let's talk about two important issues that were briefly mentioned by Donald. When I became Secretary of State, Iran was weeks away from having enough nuclear material to form a bomb. I spent a year and a half putting together a coalition that included Russia and China to impose the toughest sanctions on Iran. And we did drive them to the negotiating table without firing a single shot. That's diplomacy. That's coalition building. The other day, I saw Donald saying that there were some Iranian sailors on a ship. He said, you know, if they taunted our sailors, I'd blow them out of the water and start another war. That's not good judgment. And the worst part Donald say has been about nuclear weapons. His cavalier attitude about nuclear weapons is so deeply troubling. So a man who can be provoked by a tweet should not have his fingers anywhere near the nuclear codes, as far as I think anyone with any sense about this should be concerned.
That line's getting a little bit old, I must say. Listen,
it's a good one, though.
I would like to.
Well, describes the problem.
It's not an accurate one at all. It's not an accurate one.
It's not accurate.
This debate was interesting. It was interesting. And then, of course, they talked about his taxes. You said you saw some of the stuff with his taxes, right?
Yeah.
And I played a little bit of this earlier, but it was kind of funny when Trump basically admitted, hey, I don't pay taxes. That makes me smart.
Yeah, I mean.
You know. You can see his point. I'm not sure it should have been brought up in a presidential debate, but you can see his point. You know?
We've become a third world country, and we've spent $6 trillion in the Middle East, according to a report that I just saw. Whether it's six or five, but it looks like it's six. $6 trillion in the Middle East. We could have rebuilt our country twice. And it's really a shame. And it's politicians like Secretary Clinton that have caused this problem. And we have a country that needs new roads, new tunnels, new bridges, new airports, new schools, new hospitals. And we don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
Let you
and
respond
maybe
and we'll
because
next...
you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years. And the other thing I think is important.
It would be squandered too,
is...
believe me.
And then, of course, she starts attacking him. I think I played the clip earlier about not paying income tax, and he goes, because I'm smart.
Yeah. And the only thing is there, it's on both of them. Why'd she bring it up, and his not paying taxes itself isn't going to fund all this stuff?
I like this one because he attacked Hillary for a lot of things, and she in turn attacked him for, you know, she said he was racist. She claimed he had a bad temperament, and she also talked about how he treats women.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs, and someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers. Who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men. And one of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Name
where
is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find
and
this?
She has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
The interrupting was my favorite part. I really think it was my favorite part was interrupting. Now, let's see. Trump was attacking as well. Let me see here some of his better lines of attacking and how she responded to it. Let's do a little bit about Trump talking about Hillary Clinton's experience.
Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience. We have made so many bad deals during the last. So she's got experience, that I agree, but it's bad, bad experience. Whether it's the Iran deal that you're so in love with, where we gave them $150 billion back, whether it's the Iran deal, whether it's anything you can name, you almost can't name a good deal. I agree. She's got experience, but it's bad experience. And this country can't afford to have another 4 years of that kind of experience.
We are at the...
I think that might have landed for some people. I'm just saying he shouldn't have made it 30 years, should have made it less. And then he got her to admit. I mean, you got to say that he got her to, but she put it to bed, but still he got her to talk about those emails, Panky.
I made a mistake using a private email.
That's for sure.
And if I had to do it over again, I would obviously do it differently. But I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a mistake, and I take responsibility for that.
That was more than a mistake. That was done purposely. Okay, that was not a mistake. That was done purposely. When you have your staff taking...
By the way, purposely? Purposely?
Not real good on his word finding.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold up. Purposely... I'm not saying purposely isn't a word because it's a word, but
no, but
wouldn't it be purposefully? I mean, right? Was that, or am I crazy? Or maybe it is. I don't know, but I know that I usually use purposefully. I mean, I might be wrong, you know, I mean. I'm going to double check this because I might be wrong. Because I think purposefully is you're doing something on purpose, right?
That's where I was.
But no, I mean, I know purposely is a word. Maybe that's just not a word I use. Maybe I should use purposely. I'm sure there's a reason why. I mean, because Trump isn't, you know, he doesn't make up words. I mean, he just, maybe that's a, I don't know. I purposely is not a word that I usually use. Maybe I should. Maybe I should start using it. I don't know.
The Fifth Amendment. Taking the Fifth so they're not prosecuted. When you have the man that set up the illegal server taking the Fifth, I think it's disgraceful. And believe me, this country thinks it's disgraceful. It really thinks it's disgraceful also.
So it's disgraceful. Spanky thinks it's disgraceful. Don't you, Spanky?
Yep.
So he's right. There's people that, not all the country, but Spanky thinks it's disgraceful. It's good enough for me.
Well, I just think she should show what she's done.
I don't understand why he keeps talking about this, but here's Trump and the whole did he or did he not support the war.
You had supported the war in Iraq before the invasion. What makes your judgment?
I did not support the war in Iraq.
2002.
That is a mainstream media nonsense put out by her because she, frankly, I think the best person in her campaign is mainstream media.
My question is,
I was against the war in Iraq, just so you put it out.
The record shows otherwise.
The record does not show that.
Why is your judgment?
By the way, would you like to hear the records, Spanky?
I heard that part on news.
Anybody want to hear? This is 2002, Howard Stern Show. This is a real reason. And by the way, this is the real reason that they won't play this, you know, because a lot of people don't want to give credit to Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and admit that. There is some bias against Howard Stern. But in 2002, Trump was, you know, he was a regular on the Howard Stern Show. He hasn't been there lately, hasn't been there, I think, in the last year or so, but he was on Howard Stern's show all the time. And this was when Stern was on K-Rock in New York City. Trump was a regular guest. And here was Trump on the Howard Stern show.
Thanks, Cabby. Cabby's absolutely right on that point.
He is.
I am terrific. Made a good point.
Yeah, I am terrific. Speaking of terrific, Donald Trump has agreed to call in and share his thoughts on 9/11. Hey, Donald.
Hello, Howard.
It's a sad day, but you're one of those guys who said, you know, keep investing in New York, and people are doing it, right?
Well, they are. It's never, I don't think it's ever been better from that standpoint, Howard. I guess it has a lot to do with interest rates being so low, but I don't know. It also has to do with the fact that people really want to buy a piece of the Big Apple, and they really do. I've never really seen it like this to the extent.
We haven't come back, though, fully, have we? I mean, the tourism is off, a lot of business.
Well, the hotel market is terrible in New York, which means that people can come, get a good bargain and all of that, and it'll change. The hotel market is terrible. The office market is pretty average at best, probably less than average. The condominium market and the residential market, though, is extraordinary. The condominium sales market for residential is, I would say, the best I've ever seen it.
Because of low interest rates?
Well, I think it's that. I think it's the Enrons, you know, the global crossings where they don't want to invest in that garbage anymore. They're tired of it. They want to, you know, get something where they can feel it and touch it.
Right.
So they buy an apartment. But it's a lot to do with interest rates. It's a lot to do with a bad stock market where, you know, hey, a lot of people have made their best investment by buying shelter, by buying a house.
Probably the most important question I can ask you on a day like today is, where is Melania and is she naked?
Well, Melania is now in bed. Yes. I'm in my office.
Right.
And as to whether or not she's naked, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, take me back, I just want to know, a year ago, what was going on in your life? Well, where were you when you heard that?
See, I don't know why they always deny this. I don't know why Trump denies this interview. I mean, it's starting out pretty classy. I mean, yeah, he asked him about his wife and if she's naked and blah, 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 but I mean, I thought it was really pro-New York there. Aren't you hearing it thinking, well, it's really pro-New York?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because he was just talking about everything and was real. I mean, I didn't think it was that off the wall.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm gonna continue it in a second and play the rest of the audio. But still, I mean, if I'm Trump, I'm saying, yeah. I mean, what am I doing that's so bad? I'm trying to get people to come to New York. This is a year after 9/11, and I'm telling people, invest in New York, especially before the New York primary and stuff. He should have been playing this audio and saying, listen to how pro-New York I was, and where's Hillary Clinton? How come she wasn't on shows like this, national shows,
exactly,
putting the word out? But yet he doesn't do it. I think Trump is afraid of being on the Howard Stern show. And if I'm Howard Stern, that's sort of offensive. I mean, that's my opinion, but let me fast forward.
The horrible news.
Well, you know, normally I'm in my office, but beyond that, it was just never happened. And, you know, I'm sure Jack picked up or just watched, but the interview itself never took place, obviously.
Right.
But it was just an amazing thing. And, you know, I have windows in my where I live that specifically look at the World Trade Center, and now they're gone. And it's like Cabby was saying, I mean, it's amazing. It's just you can't believe after looking for 20 years at the World Trade Center.
So you looked out your window and you could see the whole thing go down.
I saw the whole thing. And I mean, specifically, I have two windows that are focused on the building and, you know, the silhouette of the building. And
you know, he builds those buildings, so he designed them so they'd look at the World Trade Center.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
That stuff.
Yeah, it's...
And, you know, it's a little bit like you were saying before, though, Howard. I'm not sure things are any tougher. They sound tougher, but I'm not sure they are any tougher in terms
right.
of security. And, you know, it's also nice to know your enemies. It's lovely to know you and I have plenty of enemies. We love that, and that's fine. But you like to know who they are, at least. Here, we really don't know the enemy.
I know. They're skulking around somewhere, and you just feel like you're a sitting duck.
But we have an idea who the enemy is, and a lot of times the politicians don't want to tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess. So, you know, I wish it was. I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Right. Are you still against rebuilding the World Trade Center?
I'm not against rebuilding it.
So, I mean, he says right there, yeah, he's for it, but I don't. But he keeps denying it. Now, if I'm Trump, I'm saying, hey, I was on Howard Stern in 2002. He said, "Are you for the war in Iraq?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." But then he made the point of saying, I wish it was done right the first time. So if I'm him, I'm playing this up. I would put this audio out there and say, hey.
Oh, yeah, because of his support.
And maybe, and I'm not going to play this, but it goes on and he starts talking about, you know, women and big tits and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want that part out, but still.
No, but.
But if you listen to that part.
I guess the hype thing, you know what Cabby said is really true, though. Unless you're going to build buildings bigger and better. I looked at the proposals. I don't know if you saw them. They came out 2 weeks ago. They would tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. You know.
See, and when he says, so yeah, he says he's for it. But he should admit it and say, yeah, I said that in 2002 on Howard Stern. But if you listen to my response, it's not. He's still formulating. He could say, I'm still formulating the answer in my head, but that would require him saying, I was wrong in 2002, and he just doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So instead, he continues to say, I never said it, you know. And when you hear clips like that, you go, God, why are you, I mean, that's just not true.
It shows that I'm right. When I did an interview with Howard Stern, very lightly, first time anyone's asked me that, I said, very lightly, I don't know, maybe, who knows.
That's not what you said. You said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But say that. You know what I mean?
Actually,
I mean, why? And then,
I then did an interview.
And then say, and I also said, I wish it was done right the first time. But the guy can't bring himself to ever, it's a mess. You know what I mean?
Oh, I just, yeah.
I think that's such a
worse.
That's such a loser for Trump to bring that up. You're just going to lose because there's proof that you said it. You own it. Go ahead and own it.
It's out there on tape. I mean, anybody can find it.
We know where Hillary said that he calls women pigs and blah, blah, blah. He did respond to that.
Hillary is hitting me with tremendous commercials. Some of it said in entertainment. Some of it said somebody who's been very vicious to me, Rosie O'Donnell. I said very tough things to her, and I think everybody would agree that she deserves it, and nobody feels sorry for her. But you want to know the truth?
No, not everyone says she deserves what you said to her. By the way, what are the odds of Rosie O'Donnell and Howard Stern being mentioned in a presidential debate? Good Lord.
I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice. But she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are absolutely untrue. They're untrue and they're misrepresentations. And I will tell you this, Lester, it's not nice, and I don't deserve that. But it's certainly not a nice thing that she's done. It's hundreds of millions of ads, and the only gratifying thing is I saw the polls come in today, and with all of that money, over $200 million is spent. And I'm either winning or tied.
One
and I've spent practically nothing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's...
He can only come up with this.
I'm telling you, it's something else. I got time for like maybe one more. Here's... he's talking about trade.
NAFTA is the worst trade deal maybe ever signed anywhere, but certainly ever signed in this country. And now you want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that will be almost as bad as NAFTA. Nothing will ever top NAFTA.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that in...
You called it the gold standard.
You called it
the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, Donald, I know you live in your own reality, but that is not the facts. The facts are, I did say, I hoped it would be a good deal, but when it was negotiated, which I was not responsible for, I concluded it wasn't. I wrote about that.
So is it President Obama's fault? Is it President Obama's fault?
Even announced. Look, there
Secretary,
are
Secretary, is it President there, Obama's fault?
There are
Because he's pushing it.
There are different views about what's good for our country, our economy, and our leadership in the world.
Well, there you go. So anyway, that's audio from the debate last night. I did think it was I just thought it was crazy. But I will
you
say,
watched it all?
Yeah, I watched the entire thing. And I will say this, and I know that maybe you'll disagree with me, and a lot of Trump supporters are going to disagree with me, but listen, I'm not sure being able to debate means anyone's going to be a great president. Okay? But
no, I agree to that.
But I have debated. I debated, you know, contest-wise. I debated in high school. I debated in college. Some people can say I debated for a living doing talk radio, which, no, it's actually quite different. But still, I do know debate. And there's a lot of experts who judge debates. I mean, when you debate in college on the debate team, there are judges that say this person won the debate, this person lost. And last night, it was very clear who won the debate. I'm not saying... This means that it means that Hillary Clinton is going to be a great president. I don't even know if it means she's going to win, but last night's debate was clearly won by Hillary Clinton. Now, maybe it's a thing of experience. I don't know if Donald Trump's ever done debate before. I thought he debated, you know, he obviously won the some of the Republican debates. He didn't win them all. You know, John Kasich won one of them.
Yeah.
But last night, I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton won the debate. I mean, without, I've talked to some people that thought, like on Facebook, they said they thought that Trump was the clear winner to them. But I'm just not sure if they understand how debates work. And like I said, I'm not sure how much being able to win a debate means you'd be a great president, because there are people in the past, there are some great debaters. I'll tell you, Bill Clinton was a great debater. Barack Obama's the best I'd ever seen. As good as Hillary Clinton did yesterday, Obama would have wiped the floor with her. He really would have.
He's just really slick at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that he became a constitutional lawyer. Concentrating on the stupid Constitution rather than becoming a... Obama could have been he'd have been the next Johnny Cochran if he decided to become a criminal, lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
But, he decided to, become a... I mean, I don't know how much money a constitutional lawyer makes, but Obama was as good as I've ever seen as a debater. John F. Kennedy was good, if you go back historically.
Well, that's what I mean on that debate, just like I told my wife this morning. Either way, I'm still Trump. Whatever he says and does now, it's over.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not sure that...
It isn't going to change my vote.
Yeah, I think there are people that have made their minds up already. However, there's nothing that made you question anything? Like, none of that stuff made you go, well... Or you're saying that nothing could have changed your vote?
I didn't think anything would have changed it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think debates are good things to talk about and... all the pundits and the experts. It gives them a chance to, you know, to prove they're an expert. But I don't know how many. I don't know if it changes minds, especially in this election, because the people who are for Trump, man, they are feet in cement. Nothing's going to move me. You know, Trump once joked, he said, I could shoot someone dead in the street in the middle of, you know, in the middle of Times Square, and still people would vote for me. And he was joking when he said it, but I'm going to tell you what, he was accurate, because there are people out there that you could reveal a tape of Donald Trump insulting people. I mean, he did that line about the people being 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many 400-pound people are supporters of Trump? Did he even care that it might offend them? No, he didn't give a damn. He didn't care because he knows that the people who really support him, that he it's working. Like, there are people who honestly believe the biggest problem in this country are illegal immigrants here, or people who believe the biggest problem in this country are that that we have Muslims in this country, or. The biggest. There are some people that believe that the single most important thing is that Hillary Clinton's a horrible murderess and, you know, all these different things. And he's got them. Nothing's going to make them change their vote.
Yeah, but the only thing I do disagree is, like, on the Muslims and, you know, the racism and that. That's
well, that's his whole thing, though, Spank. I mean, what else is he for? Tell me what else he's for. And I'm not telling you, I want you to change your vote, and I'm not trying to debate you, but I'm saying that you just told me you're not for the racism and you're not anti-Muslim, but that's his whole platform. What else is
what else is he for? I like he stands for is he shoots it all from the hip.
Yeah, but you just told me that the things that he's shooting from the hip, you don't like them.
But he doesn't mix words when it comes to telling people what he thinks and his feelings.
Right. Okay.
He blows it out there. I mean, sure, like I said, I do disagree with racism and that. I know he's against, you know, a lot of that.
But that's where he's
about him.
That's where he shoots from the hip is racism, and xenophobia, racism, and Islamophobia. I mean, that's where he shoots from the hip. People say I love him because he's politically correct. Well, those are the politically correct statements. Are politically incorrect statements he's making. And the question I ask you is not the first time I've asked that question, where I know people who are Trump supporters, and I just say, what outside of that stuff that you feel queasy about, what, give me just one other thing he's saying that makes you go, yeah, you know what, that's right. And tell me one thing that Hillary Clinton says that really scares you about her being president.
The one thing about Hillary Clinton.
What's something that she said that scares you and go, oh, we just can't have that? I mean.
You're going to think this is crazy, but honestly, it's her voice and her attitude.
And that's why you never vote for her, because of her voice and attitude.
She just thinks that she's la-di-da and she's spending all these money on these commercials.
Yeah.
I mean.
But the commercials are.
Some of the commercials are the stupidest things ever. I'm going to start taping them just like a watcher.
Well, yeah, but the commercials all say he's. He's wrong about the Muslims, that he's racist, he's xenophobic. You know, those are the things that you told me bother you.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, I'm saying that, and I'm not.
No, I know.
I'm not trying to have you look like you don't know what you're talking about or anything. You're not the only person that feels this way. There's people out there who, man, I love Trump. He's going to be the greatest president. Okay, cool. Why? And they can't tell me why. They just,
because, like you said,
the final answer
people
is
people that I know over the racism and all the, you know, the Muslims.
And don't get me wrong. There are also people out there where you say, they go, I love Hillary Clinton. You go, great. Why? Well, she's not Donald Trump. Okay, well, I'm not sure that's a big enough reason. Or else they go, well, she's a woman and it'd be cool to have the first woman president. Okay, neither of those are a solid enough reason for why you should vote for somebody. Just like, well, he's not Hillary Clinton, so I need to vote for him. That's not a good enough answer either. No. Just give me one thing that they have said that you think is a direction the country needs to go in, and I'll go for it. But it's very hard to find people out there who who can do that. Do that.
Well, I guess the one reason now that I thought about it,
yeah,
is the money. You know, he's funded his way. He's talking about how he's going to do all the money.
Do the money with what?
Is how he's going to save taxes and do all that. This and do that.
So he's got he's asking for a huge tax cut for the wealthy. I mean, this is his plan. His plan is to give that have the wealthy people and giant corporations pay less taxes than they've ever paid before. And that's actually untrue. I shouldn't say that because they used to pay over 70%, you know, tax. Mm-hmm. And he wants to lower it from where it's been since, I believe, Reagan. You know, it's pretty low.
Yeah, I think that's what he said last night, wasn't it?
I don't know if it'd be the lowest ever, because I think Reagan's would still be the lowest ever. But he wants them to get a giant tax decrease to where wealthy people pay less taxes. His plan is if they're paying less taxes, then they'll use that money to create more jobs. Mm-hmm. That's what that's what he's proposing. And she's saying, Hillary Clinton is saying, she wants to raise taxes on people with money because, to sum it up, she's saying we can't trust it. He's saying the wealthy people can be trusted. That they will, if we make them pay less taxes, they'll use that money to grow their businesses and hire more people. All right? And she's saying we can't trust the wealthy to do that. They'll keep the money. And she's saying, if the government taxes them more, then I'll take the money. You know, Hillary's saying, then I'll take the money and I'll put it out there and make sure that it's creating jobs. And some people say, I'll tell you, you could argue both ways. How do you prove any of this money is going to actually get back in the hands of the middle class and the lower class? And people, they distrust it. But still, she's saying, we'll tax them and take that money, and we're going to use that money to do this, 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 and that will create the jobs. Trump is saying we're going to charge them less in taxes, and the wealthy people are going to take that extra money that they have from not paying taxes, and they're just going to trickle it down into the hands of poor people. And he says you just have to trust them that they're good at heart and they'll do that. Meanwhile, in the same debate, he did argue that he's smart because he doesn't pay any taxes.
He didn't pay taxes.
And so it's a matter of trust. Who do you trust? And this sums up the election, and it makes me crazy that people don't get this. Do you and let me ask you, Spanky, do you trust wealthy people to take their extra money and invest it in the United States, because many of these people take that extra money and they invest it in other countries, all right? Mm-hmm. Do you trust the wealthy people to give their money away, or do you trust the United States to take the money from them and find ways to make sure that it's going to end up in the hands of the middle class? Now, some people say, no, it's going to end up in the hands of the lower class because Democrats take money from rich people and they give it to the poor. They Robin Hood it. But they don't give shit to the middle class. And some people say about people like Trump, they give that extra money to the wealthy and they keep it. So it just depends. Who do you trust? Do you trust wealthy people to give their money away, or do you trust the government to be able to properly spend the wealthy people's money that they tax them for? And I mean, that sums up this election. And it confuses me and makes me angry that there are people out there that don't see it. It's an issue of trust, and not whether you trust Trump or trust Hillary Clinton. Because here's the deal. You can trust Trump that he has the best of intentions in giving the rich people more money and having them trickle it down. But in the long run, it's not Trump who you have to trust. You have to ask yourself, do the wealthy people of this country, are they more about making a bigger profit, making more money, or will they automatically take the money that they're given and find ways to put it in the hands of the middle class people in the form of jobs? Do you trust wealthy people to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Or are you saying, I don't trust wealthy people? I think the government has to take the money, and I trust them to spend the money wisely. So that, I mean, they're in essence, that sums up the whole election. I can't believe that people don't see. That's the major parts. And, of course, you could also say, I want a conservative Supreme Court justice, or I want a liberal Supreme Court justice. And if you look, you know, they have both said, and that comes down to abortion. Let's face it. Trump has said if he wins, he is going to appoint pro-life judges. All right? Mm-hmm. And Clinton has said if she wins, she's going to appoint pro-choice judges. I mean, and that's the bottom line. I mean, that sums up the election. Do you trust wealthy people? Now, remember, last night when Donald Trump admitted he goes out of his way to pay zero taxes, he said that makes him a smart and a good businessman. So are people going to be like Trump and pat themselves on the back and say, hey, look, I got more money? Or are they going to say, oh, well, I'm so patriotic, I'm going to give my money, I'm going to take this money that I got extra, and I'm going to invest it. Now, a lot of them invest it to make more money, you know.
Exactly.
I'm going to invest that money, and I'm going to make ties, but I'm not going to make them in the United States. I'm going to make them in China where they're cheaper to make, so I get a bigger profit. Or are they going to say, you know what, I'm going to open up a tie factory in the United States, because in the past, we've seen people do that, and they just send the jobs to China. And the only jobs you get out of it are people selling ties, which, let's face it, I don't know how much hourly money you make selling ties in a store, how many jobs that creates.
Make no money off me at all.
Yeah. So
I think I don't have one of my clauses.
So, and you know, that's what it is. Do you trust the government, which, let's face it, is an out of control bureaucracy? Do you trust them to spend the tax dollars from the wealthy people wisely? Or do you think, oh, they're going to take that money and waste it or give it to the super poor in the form of different welfare, but it's not going to go to the hands of the middle class? And some people say, no, the wealthy people are just going to keep the money. Either way, the middle class is screwed because they always get screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But that sums up. So if you just wash that and say, okay, well, there you go. That takes away the tax issue. So it really boils down to this. Are you pro-choice? Or are you pro-life? There you go.
That's it.
And that's what's going to sum up the whole election. That's my opinion. That's what's going to sum up the whole election. So, oh, well.
Yeah, I want to see the jobs stay back here.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and I think that
I'm tired of, you know, like you said, he can't force them to come back. But I feel by him giving them a break, maybe they'll be more inclined to stay.
Well, I do like there, and I don't know if he's saying it correctly, but I do like one thing that Trump keeps saying, which is we have to find a way to punish United States companies for sending jobs overseas. You know, because let's face it, even Trump himself, you know, when he goes to make his ties, he makes them overseas because they're cheaper. He should ask himself, what would it take for me to not send those jobs to China? What would scare me? What would, you know, and by the way, this should make rich people or wealthy people question Trump, as they should go, God, what's he going to do to me to keep me from, you know, to keep me from doing that? But I mean, that sums up the whole election. Okay. Anyway, I want to play a quick best of bit. What do you want to hear? Because I said I was going to play best of bit, and you know what? I didn't play a single best of bit. We just did – all we did was right what I said I wasn't going to do. All we did was 100% the debate. So what do you think? Give me a what best of it you want to hear.
Let's see. Was there a Bodine and Jimmy?
All right, let's see if we got a Bodine bit
what
here.
What were they doing?
I'll give you some Bodine bits to choose from here. What do we have? Bodine quit smoking. Bodine gets mailed. I've got Bodine quitting. I've got Bodine. I'm always going to play that one in November. That's Bodine the Pilgrim. That's coming up in November for a special I'm putting together. Bodine versus his 2 year or 3 year old son. And I think I played Bodine's Panty Raid the other day.
Yeah, that was on.
Yeah. And then I have. Oh, that's super long. That's too long. I don't play. That's Jimmy and Bo fighting about him kissing Jimmy's girlfriend. And then here's Jim yelling at Bodine because he feels Bodine doesn't do the mobile unit correctly.
There you go.
Is that the one you want?
Yeah, it's not too long, is it?
No, I don't think it's that long.
Okay.
Here's...
It is National Lingerie Week, as we have said earlier.
Right.
Shainer, have you helped out Bodine?
I can't... I've stretched that thing as far as I can stretch it. I can't get it to go.
Bodine has got some lingerie, and they're trying to get it on him.
You know, I'm pretty good about putting lingerie on, but I ain't never,
yeah,
ever put it on somebody that big.
Man,
I'll tell you what. To putting it on himself.
Yeah. You know what? That's right. Why don't we put Shader in a little 92?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, why don't you go put one on?
There's enough for Shader. The two of them.
I think the blue one might actually fit Shader.
Yeah.
The listeners don't want me to put lingerie on.
No, I think the listeners
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They both put lingerie on.
Yeah.
Oh, come, what's he doing? Come here, get him in here. What's he looking like? Pull him around the corner, will you?
Oh, he looks like a sausage in that thing.
You know that
one? Quit pushing.
Oh, my God. I'm breathing in this thing, you know.
That looks fabulous. You've got the model for everybody. Bodine is wearing a lingerie as we speak. You look so pretty. You look so pretty.
Blue is definitely Bodine's color. Hands,
you know? Yeah. Why don't we get Shayna the little two-piece outfit? Shayna, you can put that on. Ladies and gentlemen, we go live to Springfield, Illinois, to check in with two redneck cross-dressers. They're famous on the transvestite scene. It's Shayna and Bodine.
That's not funny.
Now we check in with our cross-dressing rednecks. Hello, Bodine.
Hello, Mr. Raymond.
Are you guys out? Are you showing everybody your stuff?
Well, I'm stuck.
What are you doing?
I can't get this darn gadget on me.
All right, let's get you guys out there and show everybody.
Wait, now. Hang on, Mr. Raymond. Why do I have to wear what I'm wearing?
Because it's National Lingerie Week.
So? What's it got to do with me?
Yeah, it's National Lingerie Week.
What's it got to do with me?
Bodine's the spokesperson.
You're the spokesperson for National Lingerie Week.
And Shayna
is too. Why can't Shayna do it by himself or something?
Well,
that ain't the way it goes. You guys are both. You're having these stupid idiot tricks that I got to do. Well, it's about time you get to do something. I wish I didn't have to join you.
All right, listen.
Sorry, Mr. Raymond. All right.
Rub your booty.
It all goes in the front on these things, don't they?
On what? I don't know. I don't wear women's lingerie.
Jim, does the ball go in the front?
Yeah, it goes in the front.
Oh, Jim would know, of course.
Turn it around.
Listen. Get the laundry on him and get out there.
Are you stepping out this truck with this thing on?
Yeah, he's got to get out.
Oh, no! This people stop it already.
Hold on. Give Bodine the phone. Jim would like to say something to him. Jimmy, talk him into this.
Now, Bodine? Now, you know, I've done this, and I've also gone through a car wash.
But there's a difference between...
Hey, and all you got to do, I did it all by myself. Yeah, here, you get to do it with somebody. You get to have company. You get to have moral support. What? I did it by myself. You be the man. You be the man. Bodine! Bodine!
Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine! Bodine truck, okay? Right.
Very nice.
Is that going to make you happy?
Hey, Jim wore the lingerie. Why can't you?
Well, Jim's a little different than me.
Well, how's he different?
I don't know. He seems to smile when he puts it on, and I don't.
Hey, now you have to admit it does feel pretty good, doesn't it?
There you go. Jimmy yelling at that's pretty good. Spanky, you never had
a good bit.
You never had to wear lingerie, did you?
No.
We missed our opportunity.
I remember the bit. I was thumbing through some pictures the other day.
Yeah.
Before I was there, and you guys were doing the pool parties.
Right.
And seen Bodine in a Budweiser bikini,
oh,
top and bottom.
That's right. Oh, my God.
I laughed so hard.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, is a flab sticking out the side? Oh.
Yeah, everything was sticking out.
And then somehow he ended up with a camel toe. I don't even know how. I was like, good Lord, how do you have a camel toe? Good old Bodine.
Yeah. No, the only time I remember I about got in trouble with Bodine was when we were trying to help the state capitol by scooping snow with tablespoons.
Yeah.
And they got mad at us, and they were going to have us arrested.
That's pretty good.
I don't know why they got so mad. We were just trying to do our civic duty.
Yeah, and what the hell? All right, so listen, you know, if Nikki's still sick, I'd love to have you back tomorrow.
Okay, I'll do my best.
And I promise, and we won't
don't
talk.
Don't think I got any doctors.
We won't talk politics, because we did all that debate stuff. I didn't want to do the whole thing on debate, but. You know, it is interesting. I didn't want to do the whole thing on it, so I wish I would have done the whole show, but once you get going, what can you do? So I promise tomorrow, no politics. Hopefully Nikki will be back, but I don't know. I can't. Who knows with her illness, all right?
Feel sorry for her.
I know. It does suck, right? Ugh. It sucks. But you know, we gotta do it. And it's like Nikki said yesterday, we gotta do what we gotta do. So,
yeah,
that's what we do anyway. So tomorrow, I promise, no politics tomorrow. All right. Of which, listen, I gotta tell you something. I don't think it was very political today. I don't think we were bashing once. I mean, you admitted, yeah, you're a Trump fan, but you weren't telling other people how to vote.
No, and I
wasn't.
I wasn't telling other people how to vote.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell other people how to vote. And I wasn't even, I didn't even question you, you know what I mean? And I just asked why you felt the way you did. I didn't, you know, I'm not telling you you're wrong for how you vote. I don't care, you know, that's up to, you know.
I just think it's going to be very interesting when it comes down to the count.
You think it's going to be closer than what people are thinking or bigger than what people
it's
think?
It's either going to be a blowout or it's going to be within like 700-800 votes.
No, it'll never be this. 700 or 800?
1,000.
Oh, 1,000, yeah. Well, yeah.
700, 800 or 1,000 at the most.
Oh, you're so. Oh, I thought you said 700 or 800,000.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to see. We'll see. There's no way 1,000 votes is way too. I mean, you got to remember, it's a close election if it's within, like, you know. It's a close election if it's in hundreds of thousands of votes.
Oh, you know, that's November 8th, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if I could get on the road that day and maybe go hang outside some polls. And.
Oh, I'd love to have you. We should have you do some kind of mobile unit thing where you talk to some people.
Yeah, we're going to have to get that figured out. I'll give you a holler and we'll.
That'd be awesome. Spanky's good.
Around here, I did find a homeless person living in a pickup with a cat. So I'll try to check on that the next few days. Maybe I can interview him.
Where was that? Where's the homeless person living in a pickup with a cat?
Well, I think the pickup might run, but I guess they're homeless. Maybe I'm looking too far into it.
Where does the cat? Does the cat
person
live?
Is in a pickup.
Where's the cat poop and pee?
I don't know, but the cat's on the dash, and from the where the driver would sit,
yeah,
all the way across up to the ceiling is like newspapers and that.
Oh my God! Let me tell you something. That poor cat did not hit the lottery. I'll tell you that. There are you know, there are some cats that are fortunate enough, they hit the jackpot. You know, they get adopted by families or people with big money. You know. And they have a nice...
Your cat didn't get adopted by the right person.
Yeah, they have life filled with fancy feast. You know, and then there are cats that are living with homeless people and feasting off of most of the way eaten chicken bones. You know.
Or half a chicken sandwich that they didn't eat.
I mean, yeah, like Americans are either born wealthy or born poor or born in shitty circumstances. But it's nothing like a cat. I mean, you know, there's no way around it. You either hit the jackpot or you end up living in a pickup truck. What is
well,
100?
I was hoping this person was sleeping because they were at this parking lot that I'll disclose later. But I drove around about six times just to make sure I was seeing what I was seeing.
And the guy was in this pickup truck. Oh, my God. How do you
I'd
do
pull
that?
Around and I'd stop in front of him and look, and there'd be a cat laying on the dash. First, I thought it was a stuffed cat.
I'll tell you what. I don't know how they do it. Like, when our air conditioning broke for a few days or a couple days, and I thought I was going to die. I really did. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And we finally got the air working. I was like, oh, thank God, you know, we're back to normal. I could not imagine being homeless and living and having to put up with that heat every day.
No, and just sitting somewhere like a parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why I pray that, you know, I just pray that global warming slows down. Because I have, you know, this fear that the grid's going to go down. We're all going to be without electricity for a while. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Speaking of, did you see the nutty people out? Well, you haven't been out yet, have you?
No.
Nutty people wearing jackets and act like it's sub-zero winter.
What's the temperature like out there?
52 degrees at, like, 4:30 or 5.
Oh, so it's probably warmer now.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, because I do go out today. Today's the day I go out to host Ask the Expert. And that's on that's on from 3 to 4. And that's over on the WTAX. So, yeah, today's the day I go do that. So I will be out of the house today. But I was out of the house yesterday. So I've been out of the house a lot the last 2 days, Spanky.
Yesterday I was in most of the day, but... Over the weekend, I got out.
I try to keep myself inside as much as possible. You know. Mm-hmm. Unless I have to go out, I don't. Like I've said before, if somebody said I have to serve from home confinement, I'd be fine with it, you know.
Oh, I would be too.
Yeah, like I don't have to leave the house. I really don't. Like if someone said, hey, we want to hire you to do a radio show, but just do it from your home studio. I'd be like, cool. Yeah, I don't have to leave. I'm good with never.
Exactly.
I'm good with not leaving. I like my family. My wife is super hot. And lately, I just can't get enough of her. I talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I can't get enough of her. She's so hot. I don't know if that's me or what's going on.
Well, pace yourself. Don't let that ticker get overheated.
My ticker's fine. My kid's super smart. I love talking to her. She's very entertaining.
I better not ever come down and talk with her then.
Even my pets, for the most part, except my dog who's coughing all the time. But even my pets have been entertaining lately. So I don't feel the need to leave. I don't have to go see any. There's nobody I have to see out there. There's nothing I really want to do out there. I like being inside, you know. I look at what's going on in the rest of the world through something called TV.
There you go.
I don't need all this hassle of going out. But it is a reality. I do have to go out, and today's one of those days. So we'll see what I see when I
go
out.
Be brave.
I don't think I'll be wearing a coat already. People wearing coats. I mean, come on.
Well, hell, you and I, our size, we don't have to wear a coat till like February.
When it starts getting above 65, I got to wear shorts. I mean...
Yeah,
I overheat easily.
I was still out walking this morning with a shorts and t-shirt on it. No later than 5.
I'm like a sea lion. You know, I could be out of the water a while, but you got to start throwing some water on me eventually.
Exactly.
I dry out and die pretty quickly.
Start doing like Trump.
Yeah. I'll start sniffling. So here's what we learned. We listened to the debate. Spanky thinks that Trump might be on the, you know, on some powder. And we also learned a classic with Jimmy and Bo. And there's a homeless guy living with a cat in a truck.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a guy or a lady. I got to inspect it a little closer.
Oh, wait, you can't even tell what the sex of the person is?
No, because they're kind of in there, like, wearing this big old frumpy-looking hat. And,
oh, for God's sakes.
I mean, I might have to venture out maybe one morning on the show before the end of the week and knock on the window.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. God, that would make my week.
But it's just a little scary. I mean, it might roll the window down. That cat might attack me.
Hey, by the way, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you know, but...
Little Noid will be returning soon, Mother and Father.
Little Noid will be returning.
Awesome.
And that'll be happening very soon.
Them were some of the best camp letters.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows where he's going to. I don't know where the letter's coming from this time.
It will be coming from Young Politicians Camp, Mother and Father.
Oh, so Noid went to Young Politicians Camp. Well, that'll be interesting in this presidential election year. Well, I can hardly wait for that, Spanky. Good Lord.
Yeah,
to hear from
I know.
Noid.
Noid could be our next president.
Absolutely.
Little Noid for Prez.
He couldn't be president of a Rotary Club. But, yeah.
But I'd vote for him over Trump.
Oh, well. Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, quick update. Still dry.
Good. Hey, I was going to ask you. You have not fallen off the wagon.
I have not had a drink.
All right. I'm very proud of you. Wow.
Wanted to over the weekend. You know, the weather was kind of nice for a sitting outside party all day.
So you like the weather?
Well, the way it was Saturday, nice and reasonable. And I could have sat outside and drank all day on my back porch.
But you didn't drink? Did you sit outside, though?
Actually, no. My wife and I went to Pontiac and looked at some motorhomes for my buddy.
Yeah?
And then we come back and she tried to drag me in the mall, but I insisted on sitting on a bench and watching the funny people. So I sit on the bench at the Bloomington Mall.
While she shopped.
Well, she shopped and I just sit there and laugh at people.
Oh, that's funny.
So, but no, I didn't drink. Still dry.
Well, I'm very proud of you.
Still on my diet.
Your birthday's coming up, though. You're not going to be able to keep it up during your birthday.
Yeah, it's getting a little scary.
I mean, we're almost October.
I mean, we're talking.
In the past, you've done
straight jacket on the 18th.
In the past, you have done month long celebrations of your birthday.
Oh yes.
Well, it's almost October.
And then there's times I've started a week before mine and waited till yours was over, even though I didn't see you on your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
that's true.
And drank till then.
It's going to be hard for you to not drink in the birthday month, I'm just saying.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I do feel better.
Yeah, you sound better. You're funny. You sound great, so...
Yeah, I feel much better.
I'm so glad you called in. I really wish I would have done a shorter debate coverage, but, you know, I thought I was going to be alone.
Oh, that's okay. Like I said, I got to look. I don't think maybe one doctor's appointment tomorrow, but I think it might be in the afternoon.
Well, good. You need to call in.
So if it isn't, or if everything's good, I'll call you at 8:30.
Good. Hopefully, hey, hopefully Nikki will join us as well. If not, then you and I will
that'd be great.
If not, you and I will go through it. And I promise we'll just lay off of politics.
I hope she's feeling better.
Yeah. Hopefully, man. My fingers are crossed.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, I'll wrap it up. It's like 20 after 10, so. Okay. We started late, but we'll still wrap it up. Anyway, thank you, Spanky. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, anytime, buddy. Thank you, and I'll talk at you tomorrow.
All right, later, Spank. There you go. That's the morning disaster for today. I say, that's the morning disaster for today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow with another edition of Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster. So long, everybody.